You're listening to the Mission 6-8 podcast. For more info, visit mission68.org.
Well, happy Easter to everybody here in this room and in our satellite locations. We are coming live to you from the worship center. And let me just ask something of you right off the bat. Would you please go ahead and turn off your cell phone, because we don't want you to eternally be remembered in heaven as that guy, okay? So go ahead and turn it off. We would really appreciate that. Hey, I recognize also that many of you are new here for the first time, so I want to tell you a little bit about who we are as a church. We are a people who seek to be Christ followers. We recognize that we don't do that perfectly, and we recognize that at some level, all of us, each and every one of us, is a mess. And so whatever mess you happen to bring into this place, you are welcome in this place. We're also people of the book, which means when we get into the message in a couple minutes, the people around you are going to open up their Bibles and actually follow along in the Word. And let me just tell you right off the bat, too, if you came here kind of expecting sort of a light and fluffy thing, I don't even know how to do that. We don't do that here, okay? So we like preach through the Bible, and there's just not a lot of light and fluffy in there. And I just need to tell you that the passage we're going to go through today comes at your heart ferociously and never lets go. And I'm going to preach it that way today. So, just, right. Yeah. And let me tell you this too about us. We have a very clear vision and direction for this ministry. It comes from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start it, and in our satellite locations in here, I'd like for you to finish the verse. I start, you finish, okay? I have shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you to... Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. And we seek to live that vision out here, both in these walls and beyond these walls, and spilling out into the community and into some of the darkest places on the planet, rescuing girls from sex trafficking, feeding the poor and the hungry and the broken, and caring for the widow and the orphan. And we believe that when we live this way, it honors our Savior. And we believe in it so deeply that we're going to invite you to participate in it, even if it's your first time here. We have, one of the things we do is we have this campus in Fiji that's for the rescue and restoration of girls that have been trafficked and exploited. And it's this absolutely beautiful ministry of taking these girls that have literally been stripped of everything and bring them into this campus and loving them and blessing them and giving them a place to belong and building into them for years until they're restored and fully ready to integrate, reintegrate back into their community, this time not as victims, but as victors in Christ. And it's been absolutely beautiful ministry. Matter of fact, you're so involved with that. Like, for instance, several months ago, we said, hey, from your offering, there's some of these girls who are actually ready for college. And from your offering several months ago, we sent many of the girls to get their certificate at a college, or teaching certificate. And I'm really happy to tell you today that every single one of those girls got straight A's. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Now, for those girls, a lot of the girls over time have been restored. For those girls presently, there are four girls that are ready to be reintegrated back into their community. And here's what they need to complete the process of going from abused and exploited to healthy and alive in Christ. What they need is a home. Because if they go back into their community and they don't have a home to go into, they're kind of forced to go back into the same abusive situation that they were rescued from. And so from your offering today, we are going to build four homes for those four girls. Now, a home costs about $10,000. So from your offering, we're going to invite you. Well, even if it's your first time here, we just think this is a noble cause, and we want to invite you to participate in this thing that so honors Jesus. And so towards the end of the message, we're going to take an offering, and you can prepare yourself for that, that you can be part of the solution today for those four girls. Now, would you please open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is a passage, Paul writing to the church in Corinth about the resurrection. We're going to go through the first 20 verses, and I'm just telling you again, Paul comes at us with this passage just with ferocity. Is that even a word? If it is now, ferociously towards your heart, okay? And he doesn't let go. This is an absolutely critical truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Chapter 15, verse 1. Now, brothers, I want you to remind you of the gospel, the good news, the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. by this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. In other words, if you don't hold to the gospel, then whatever else you're believing, it's belief in vain. Verse 3, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. So here's some critical things. Here's the first important truths about the gospel. Here they are. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared also to me. There are certain truths that when you're faced with them, you really can't be indifferent. They demand a response. April 1st, 2011. 118 passengers board Southwest Flight 812, leaving Phoenix on the way to Sacramento. Everything's cool. 20 minutes into the flight, all of a sudden, the passengers describe what sounded like gunshots. Pop, pop, pop. Pop. And then a 4-foot hole ripped from the roof of the plane at 36,000 feet. The cabin immediately lost cabin pressure. The oxygen masks fell. The plane went into a dive. The flight attendant was tossed. I wasn't on that plane. My wife is a flight attendant for Southwest. She was not on that plane. But I can tell you with reasonable confidence that there wasn't a single one of those 118 passengers in that moment that just continued calmly shopping through Sky Mall. Not one. Not a single one pushing the button for more peanuts. Like they did not, at that moment, they freaked out. I wasn't there, but they had to, right? There's a hole in the plane. It demands a response. Certain truths that when you're faced with them, you can't be indifferent. They demand a response. The resurrection of Jesus is one of those truths. It demands a response. You cannot just be on the fence about it. You either need to reject the resurrection of Jesus and walk away, or embrace the resurrection of Jesus, give your life to him, because the eternal resurrection life that he offers you is of eternally more value than the 77 years you get on this ball of dirt. I want us to go unpack that. So back into the scriptures, chapter 15, verse 1. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first important. So the apostle wants to clearly communicate the gospel. He says, here are the things that are of critical importance, that if you call yourself a Christian, you have to hold to these things. We can disagree on smaller things all day long, but there are a certain set of truths about the gospel that if we don't hold to them, we really have no right to call ourselves Christians. And you might go to church and wear the cross necklace and even have a fish sticker on your minivan and a Jesus is my homeboy t-shirt. But if you don't hold to these truths, you're not a Christian. First importance truths, here they are, chapter 15, verse 3. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried. Let's just pause there for a second. So here's the first importance truth of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He died. Jesus came for the express purpose of dying on a cross. It wasn't as if things got out of hand and he just ended up on a cross. He planned it from the beginning. This was God's mission to send Jesus to die. Why? For our what? Sins. Because we are a mess. Every single one of us, and you all look marvelous in your Easter outfits. You really do. Way better than normal, really. But God knows what's underneath, right? God knows the sin that lurks beneath, and we can pretty up the outside, but he knows, right? We can't hide that. And if somehow you've managed to convince yourself that you don't have a sin problem and you have the capacity right now to stand before a perfectly holy, just God and make a case for the fact that you don't have a sin problem, congratulations. You are officially the most messed up dude in this place, okay? And you win. We'll give you a parting gift on the way out. It'll be like a mirror, and you can just look at how awesome you are for the whole rest of your life. It'll be really great for you, right? So, but for the rest of us, right, we recognize we have a sin problem. We do, right? And we can't fix it because we are the problem, right? We're the ones creating the sin, and it separates us from a perfectly holy God. We have a very serious problem. Right? And if God didn't intervene, if we just died in our sins, things wouldn't be okay between us and God. You wouldn't meet him in the end, and he'd look at you and all your sin and go, LOL, crazy sinner, come on in. No, like deeply severed, broken relationship. We desperately need God's intervention to save us. And here is where Jesus comes into the picture. God the Son coming from heaven to earth for the purpose of paying the perfect, holy, and just payment for our sin on the cross. And scripture says that he bore in his body all of our sin. The sum total of the sin of humanity he bears in his body. He carries it up a hill of Calvary and nails it to a cross through his hands and his feet, paid in full all of our sin, so that now the way of forgiveness is possible, that when we put our faith in Jesus, the slate is clean. And here's why: because Jesus already paid the price for it. And if you're in this place going, man, if they knew my deal, they wouldn't let me in the big room. Maybe one of the satellite campuses, but not in the big room, right? Like, so if you think that you've got this huge sin thing and God couldn't possibly love you, can you just hear this good news today? God already knows that thing, and Jesus already died for it. There is forgiveness in Christ. Amen? There's full forgiveness in Christ. Jesus died for our sins. This is an essential truth of Christianity. And I don't mean to offend you, but if you don't believe that, you're not a Christian. And if you get that offended, you're like, of course I'm a Christian. I go to church. Okay. I ate at P.F. Chang's the other day, but it didn't make me Chinese. Okay? Are you tracking with me? Like, just because you go to a place doesn't make you that thing, okay? Right? Christians are people who get it. Listen, I'm a mess. I can't save myself. I'm the problem. And I desperately need God's intervention. I need a Savior. Jesus is that Savior who died for my sins on that cross. First importance truth of the gospel. And he was buried. Verse 4, chapter 15, verse 4. That he was buried. And why does God include this little phrase in scripture? Why is this of first importance? Because we have to dispense of the ridiculous notion that somehow Jesus survived the crucifixion. God, can we just dispense of this idea that somehow Jesus survived the being flogged by Roman soldiers, brutally beaten until the skin was ripped off his body, then nailed to a cross by professional executioners, hanging there for hours, suffocating in his own blood, a spear pierced through his side, draining the blood, lowered from the cross, confirmed dead by those professional executioners, wrapped in burial cloth, which would have covered and suffocated if nothing else. To believe that somehow Jesus survived through all of that, and 3 days later he's walking around like, oh, hey, like he's fine. That is a ridiculous fairy tale. Okay, if you believe that, talk to me later because I have some unicorn insurance I want to sell you, okay? It is ridiculous. Can we please dispense of that? Jesus died for our sins, and he was buried. First importance truth about the gospel. Second thing, here we go. Back into verse 3. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried. And here's the next thing, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. just like the Word of God said he would, just like Jesus said he would, Jesus rose from the grave because the enemy has no power over him and the grave cannot hold him because he is exactly who he said he is. He is God the Son. He is the Christ. The grave could not hold him, and Jesus victoriously rose from that grave, conquering sin and death, and he extends that victory to all who will believe and follow him. This is the gospel. It is the beautiful, beautiful news. Amen. Yeah, I can clap for that. This is the gospel. This is the great news of Easter, that it's not just about the 77 years that you get here. It's about eternal resurrection life in Christ. And the apostles don't say, oh, just take our word for that. Like, just blind faith. He said, no, listen, we were eyewitnesses. Believe us. And if for whatever reason you don't believe the eyewitnesses, there's 500 people over here that are mostly still alive that also witnessed it. Go ask them, right? Verse five. And then Jesus appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Most who are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and at last he appeared to me also. Okay, let's just step back for a second. See, listen, if you took any historical event that had 500 eyewitnesses all saying the same thing, 12 critical eyewitnesses that all were willing to be brutally tortured for their testimony and never recant, you would have to say that that is one of the most well-attested to facts in all of history. And so my question for those of you that are still wrestling with not yet believing in the resurrection of Jesus, my simple question for you is this. On what basis? What evidence are you trusting in that contradicts the clear, consistent testimony of the eyewitnesses who had nothing to gain and everything to lose for giving their testimony to the resurrection of Jesus? Isn't it true that you're basing your decision on the most important event in all of history and wagering your soul on nothing more than, I don't think so? Really? Are you okay with that? Isn't that a bigger leap of faith than just believing the eyewitnesses? Make no mistake, if you don't believe in the resurrection, not a Christian. And let me even take it a step further, because Paul's going to say beginning in verse 12, he's going to say this. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you shouldn't be a Christian. You should stop wasting your time with church and Jesus and the Bible completely if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Look at verse 12, chapter 15, verse 12. Paul just continues to go after the church. Verse 12, he says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching, he's describing his own preaching, the preaching of the apostles, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If for only this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Let's just be really honest about it, okay? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you should stop coming to church. You just completely don't listen to my preaching, because my preaching is based on the teaching of the apostles, with which if Jesus didn't rise from the dead is just foolish fairy tale. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you should stop coming to church, because honestly, we have nothing of value to offer you other than that. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, just sleep in on Sunday. Go to IHOP and get some banana pancakes and a side order of crepes, right? Because what we're doing here is pointless, honestly, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And don't try to convince yourself, we should go because it's good for the kids. No, it's not. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then what we're doing is we're teaching your children to pin their hopes on, pour their life into, bet the farm on a lie. That is not good for your kids. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you should take your Bible and throw it away. because it's nothing but the false testimony from the mouths of liars. Verse 15, this is what the apostle says himself. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified that God about God that he had raised Christ from the dead. And if you read through scriptures, this is their testimony. The apostles say, listen, we met with the resurrected Jesus multiple times over a period of time. We hung out with him. We were at the beach. We had breakfast. We ate fish. We had another meal with him. Thomas, he was doubting, but then like he wasn't there when Jesus first showed up. He was out getting popcorn, and then he came in, and he wouldn't believe us. And so he says, okay, I have to put my finger in the nail hole. And he did. And listen, we listened to the teaching of Jesus and we asked him questions and we interacted with him. All of that would be a complete fabrication if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, right? I mean, you understand, if Jesus didn't rise, then this isn't a good book. It's false testimony from the mouths of liars. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we should just take that Bible and toss it. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then everything you shouldn't believe in him. You shouldn't put your faith in him. If he didn't rise from the dead, then you shouldn't put your faith in a savior that doesn't have any power over death. Right? Verses 17 and 18. Chapter 15, verses 17 and 18. Verse 17. And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. This false testimony from these liars, these false witness. And you know what the really sick thing is? This testimony would have been given by people who are not only liars, but they had to be masochistic liars. And second graders, if you don't know what that word means, go home and ask dad. And dad, if you don't know what it means, go home and ask mom and she'll tell you. Okay, masochistic means this. It means that they would have had to been lying about what they would have known to have been. They would have been lying and be tortured, willing to die for what they would have known to have been a lie. That's just masochistic, right? We should not believe their testimony, right? And we shouldn't put our faith in someone who doesn't have power over death. Verse 17, if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Listen, there's nothing of Christianity. Honestly, Christianity is a farce apart from the resurrection. It's a farce. It claims to have a power that it doesn't really have if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. It's of no value to you if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. It's of no value to that loved one that you lost and you went to that funeral that is so beautiful. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, that person is mulch. That person's story is worms are now eating the corpse of Aunt Betty, and that's the end of her story. Happy Easter from Mission, right? Community Church. But isn't that true? I mean, let's just be honest around here. Isn't that true? That if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, what hope do we have? There is nothing of redeeming value about Christianity if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Everything we're doing here is pointless if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. But, and this is the best but in the Bible, verse 20. Chapter 15, verse 20. But Christ has indeed been risen from the dead. Can a brother get an amen on that? The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The first fruit, he's the first, and then he extends that to all who put their faith in him. That grave couldn't hold Jesus, never stood a chance. It was never in question when Jesus went into that grave. It was never in question that he would rise because he is the Christ. He is God the Son. It couldn't hold him. He rose victoriously and he conquered death once and for all, and he extends that victory to all who will believe in him. Verse 55, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Look at verse 57. But thanks be to God, he gives who? Us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He wins the victory. He rises from the dead, and we celebrate the victory of Jesus, but then he gives that victory to us through faith in Jesus. This is the beautiful gospel. This is what Jesus offers you. He offers you victory over sin and death, paying for it on the cross, conquer it through the resurrection. He says, now follow him and you too will rise from the dead. This is the gospel. And it requires a response. You cannot be on the fence about this. You either need to reject the resurrection of Jesus and just be done with it. Just walk away. Or, if it's true, and it is, that Jesus rose from the dead, then give your life to him. Because the life that he offers you is of infinitely greater value than the 77 years you get here. And if you're 76 and you're like really nervous about this whole message, I'm really sorry. But I didn't know. But God offers you something more than just another year here, right? I mean, who cares here? Another year. He offers you resurrection life, right? Eternal life. It's so much greater. So either reject it and go forget it and be done with this, okay? Throw away your Bible. Don't come back there. Be done with it. Or place your faith in Jesus and give your life to the one who died for your sins and extends to you the victory that you could never win for yourself. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we could say thank you for all eternity and it would never be enough, but we come before you this afternoon and we do say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for loving us so deeply that you didn't leave us alone in the mess and filth of the sin that we created. Father, you loved us so much that you would sacrifice your son. And what a horrific sacrifice that is, having to watch your own son be brutally beaten and die on a cross. Willingly going through that for our sin so that we can be forgiven. God, what can we do but say yes and thank you and I believe and follow Jesus. We thank you for Easter morning. We thank you that there is truly victory over death, that it's not just about the 77 or 78 or whatever years we have here, but there is eternal resurrection life. God, it puts everything in perspective. We thank you so much for the gospel. May we not wander from it. God, I pray that if there's anybody here that's been on the fence, not sure which way to go about Jesus, that today, one way or the other, they'd get off the fence. Father, I pray that everyone would believe in the fact of the resurrection of Jesus and give their life to the one who won a victory for us that we could never win for ourselves. We pray in the mighty power of the resurrected Jesus. And all those in agreement said, amen.
You've been listening to the Mission 6-8 podcast. Follow us at twitter.com/mission68 and facebook.com/mission68. Mission Community Church. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly.